Strictly speaking, the pirate harboring and Membrosia running in which the Killix were engaged was not Han and Leia's concern. But Chief of State Omas was using the trouble as a pretext to avoid keeping his side of a complicated bargain with the Solos, saying that until the nests of the Utagetu Nebula stopped causing so much trouble for the Galactic Alliance, he could not muster the votes he needed to give the Ithorians a new homeworld. Han would have liked to believe the claim was just a big bantha patty, but someone had leaked the terms of the deal to the Holopress. Now both the Solo name and the Ithorian homeworld had become linked in the public mind with the pirate raids and tar honey dens that were blighting the frontier from Adumar to Risi. Once the street traffic had returned to normal, Luke said, "We seem to be out of guide. We'll have to find Raynar ourselves." Han started to send C-3PO into the street to ask directions from a Killick, but Luke and the other masters simply turned to Leia with an expectant look. She closed her eyes for a moment, then turned down the street and confidently began to lead the way deeper into the shimmering nest. Fairly certain that she knew exactly where she was going, Han fell in beside C-3PO and R2-D2 and followed the others in silence. Sometimes hanging out with Jedi was almost enough to make him feel inadequate. For a quarter of a standard hour, the nature of Sarah's nest did not change. Gradually, the streets grew less crowded, and the group began to notice more froth-covered bodies in the gutter. Most were already dead and half disintegrated, but a few remained intact enough to raise their heads and beg for a merciful end. Han found himself torn between the desire to stop their suffering and a reluctance to do something so drastic without understanding the situation. Fortunately, Luke was able to take the middle road, using the Force to render each victim unconscious. Finally, Leia stopped about 10 meters from an open expanse of marsh. The street continued, snaking through a brightly mottled sweep of bog flowers. But the road surface turned dull and frothy ahead, and the ends of the nearby tunnel houses were being eaten by gray foam. In the center of the field stood a massive spin-glass palace, its base a shapeless mass of ash-colored bubbles, and its crown a braided tangle of iridescent turrets swimming with snakes of color. "Tell me that's not where Raynar was waiting," Han groaned, "because there's no way we're going..."
"Raynar Thule could not be waiting there,"
a gravelly voice said from a nearby tunnel house.
"You should know that by now, Captain Solo. Raynar Thule has been gone a long time."
Han turned around and found the imposing figure of Raynar Thule standing in the tunnel house entrance. A tall man with regal bearing, he had a raw, melted face with no ears, hair, or nose, and all of his visible skin had the shiny, stiff quality of a burn scar. "Guess I'm a slow learner that way," Han said, smiling. "Good to see you again, Unu Thule." Raynar came into the street. As always, he was followed by the Unu, a motley swarm of Killicks of many different shapes and sizes. Gathered from hundreds of different nests, they accompanied Raynar wherever he went and acted as a sort of collective will for the colony.